For at least the past two decades, water quality has declined in the majority of the 100 or so monitored sites on Waikato's rivers and streams. Nitrogen levels have increased by about 2% a year. Phosphorus levels have also increased. And these nutrients can reduce water clarity, stimulate algae, and harm aquatic life. A council report earlier in the year says water quality was poorest in areas of intensive dairying. So not surprising, I guess, that the Auditor-General's report this month, which picked out Waikato's waterways as failing to meet national water quality guidelines, wasn't news to the Waikato Regional Council. And for its part, the council says it's now well underway in addressing many of the issues. For example, it brought in rules concerning farming around Lake Taupo, known as Variation 5. It's making good progress on improving effluent management on dairy farms and discharges from fixed sites such as dairy factories. But basically, current policies which say there should be no net degradation of waterways haven't been well defined and haven't worked, so new ones are up for discussion at present. Water management in Waikato needs to change. Helping direct or prod this along are two farmer councillors, Norm Barker, who chairs the recently formed Land and Water Quality Subcommittee, and Stu Kneebone, who chairs the Catchment Services Committee. And we met up on Stu's farm earlier this week. Are your policies going to be in place in time to stop river degradation?
Yeah, look, that's a very good question, Susan. There's no doubt that in recent years the rate of decline of our freshwater has started to intensify, and we're not actively managing it. One of the big challenges that we have is that When we design policy, we consult with the community, and that's entirely appropriate because it's the community and the farmers and or those that are affected by our policy decisions that ultimately have to work and often bear a considerable cost in changing their operations to comply with our policy. So it's entirely appropriate that we run a process where they can participate and be involved in designing the final outcome. Now that can be quite a lengthy process. In the case of Variation 5 for Lake Taupo, it was 10 years, and the argument's often been put up, well, hey, why have you taken so long to address these challenges? Well, the short answer is that the community and those affected are entitled to participate in the process. In saying that, we're currently got a draft proposal before some specialist RMA lawyers that's looking exactly at this problem with a view to trying to speed up the process, but without taking away the right of those affected to participate.
But in other words, we might have to accept rivers are going to keep declining for a while before rules can come in and changes are made.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, if we look at the Upper Waikato, some of that water up there has been aged at 50 years old. So policies and changes to farm management that we, for example, could put in place tomorrow aren't going to see improvements in water quality for quite some time to come. And so it's really important that the community are mindful of that. However, that's not a good reason for delaying, you know, that we have to move on this one.
The point that I want to make, though, is that we're talking social change here, and we've seen through our Variation 5 on Lake Taupo that it did create social change in communities and on farms, and so that has to be well signalled. You cannot force these sorts of issues on communities, and so that's a learning that we got out of Lake Taupo. So when we start to look at this project, we're not actually about putting farmers out of business, so I want to get that really clear. It's about keeping our export ability right up there. The country needs money, but it is caring locally, and so we will have to face these issues, and we will have to start talking with community groups, and they'll be starting pretty quick because we can't sit on our hands around this issue.
I think one of the key issues here is that we need to get better systems in place to manage our fresh water. And the limit setting in terms of allowable nutrient discharges will come later, and that will have to be based on really good and really robust science. And we may well find that the limits we set in 5 years' time, for example, may not deliver the results that we anticipated, but we really don't know that yet. The movement of nutrients through the soil profile and into underground aquifers is not a complete science.
It's been put forward as a suggestion that water quality is declining, and one of the ways to stop that will be to cap cow numbers immediately and then let the remediation efforts catch up, that we've caught up with science and that actually it's not enough to just say it'll take us a little while of community consultation, that you actually need to do something more draconian immediately to get your line in the sand.
Yeah, so I certainly don't envisage a tool as blunt as capping cow numbers. What we want to do when we design our policies is incentivise innovation from farmers. And so we might, for example, set a nutrient discharge limit for a particular catchment. And hopefully we can design rules or policy that allows farmers to look at a range of different farming techniques and a range of tools in their toolboxes to achieve that limit. And so I think the key there is to firstly put in place management mechanism so that we can get a good handle on what our discharge rates are, what our nutrient losses are for a particular farming system. And then our scientists can start to look at what would be an appropriate loss limit of nutrients for a particular farm and for a particular soil type and proximity to waterways, etc., etc.
So you might make the rules and it's up to them how they actually meet them.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got an example of that where we've got a high-intensive farmer. We've done the science. Because he's at world best practice, he's actually got one of the lowest leaching rates of all the ones in the integrated catchment management for the little bypass. And he always says that, look, don't tell me how to farm, just tell me what the limits are, what you want, what the numbers are, and I'll do it. But just don't tell me how to farm, because that's what spins my wheels.
What specific projects are underway in the Waikato Regional Council's area to look at water quality and those sort of issues?
It goes right back to just before I became a councillor. They started, the Regional Council in those days, started an integrated catchment management study on two catchments, the Little Waipa and the Waipapa. So out of that came initiatives called Dairy Push, and Dairy Push is about increasing profit while dropping your environmental footprint by 20%. There's Tomorrow's Farms Today, which is around understanding nutrient loss through pumice soils around the Reparoa area. There's the audited nutrient management pilot, which is just a new one, which is done with Dairy NZ, and that's trying to understand a little bit better around the nutrients, and especially with the Overseer software project. And then there's just forming right at the moment is a new group called the Upper Waikato Primary Sector Partnership. So there's a lot of stuff happening in the upper catchment, all trying to deal with these water issues and how they affect farmers, their profitability, and their environmental footprint.
And Norm says those projects have strong iwi involvement as well. Raukawa and Te Araha in particular have built up strong environmental teams, and they'll put their farms up as examples of good practice. Stu Kneebone says the Waikato region needs its agricultural economy if we're to maintain our standard of living, and managing the tension between the economy and the environment is challenging.
When we're not managing our fresh water appropriately, we effectively aren't passing on the true costs of production, the true costs of food, to the community and to the customers. And what that effectively does is that it makes it very hard for the community to make an informed decision on what level of fresh water quality that as a country we aspire to have. And that's really, really important. And so it's important that as we move forward, we have systems in place that recognise the true cost of production.
So Stu, what you might say then is that I'm going to have to pay even more for my milk because it's going to cost you more to put in mitigating things into your farm in order to meet the environmental outcome.
Yeah, look, I think that's a fair comment. You know, if we look at the industry growth that has taken place in the last decade, it's largely been based on economic models that haven't really taken into account the full cost of production, i.e. The cost to the environment of all that increased production. And the longer we put off addressing that problem, the harder it's going to be to make that correction. The other important thing to remember is this isn't a bash on dairy farmers. All livestock farming in New Zealand is having an effect. And we know that, for example, we've got very intensive bull beef operations that are leaching nutrients almost at the same level as a lot of dairy farms. And that in itself is going to be quite challenging because sheep and beef industry, and particularly regarding the cattle side of things, don't necessarily have the same resources at their disposal for that industry to assist their farmers to make improvements in the same way that the dairy industry does.
I would say in a measured approach that we will have to have these conversations. The industry now is engaging in this process, so we have federated farmers, change of leadership at national level and also at provincial level in the Waikato, really engaging. Dairy NZ's really engaging at the moment, and Fonterra particularly. I was at a meeting the other night where Theo Spearings was introduced to about 50 leading farmers in the Waikato, where he, in his first comments after introducing himself, was talking about corporate citizenship, corporate responsibility, and also in the environment. So right at that high level, they are talking about this. So there's been a lot of movement about how to work together around these in a collaborative way around these issues.
So things are starting to happen, is what I'm hearing you guys say. Farmers are starting to come on board. You're looking at how you will be able to regulate. When will we see some more specific things or things starting to happen?
Probably sooner rather than later. The government have signalled a sense of urgency on this issue. The National Policy Statement on Freshwater was released recently, which we have to give effect to. The government have engaged the Land and Water Forum to do some work on setting limits, and I think March 2012 they have to report back to the government on how we might go about that.
May
2012, yeah. And so we've got a whole lot of pressures building up that mean we can't afford to wait around on this issue. And it is, farmers have made some pretty significant changes in recent years. There's a lot of money has been poured into, you know, effluent management systems and things like that. The reality is that we're going to have to continue, and the pace of change is probably going to be faster in a lot of areas of the way farmers manage their farms than they've been used to in the past. And that's simply a reflection of the fact that the assimilative capacity of our water, our streams and our rivers has got to a point where it can't sustain the numbers of livestock we have in the region under the current systems that we're using to manage our farms at the moment.
Do you guys like being councillors? What's the job like?
Most of the time I do enjoy it. It's really big picture stuff. The scope is huge in the Waikato. We've got an area that goes from Franklin, just out of Auckland, all the way down to halfway across the desert road, almost into Taranaki at Mokau, and then right all the Coromandel. So it's a massive, massive area. And that's our challenge, because it's not one size fits all. Each catchment will have different, its own idiosyncrasies, and we have to deal with that.
Yeah, no, look, I'm now, I think, just 1 year into my first term as a regional councillor, and look, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's a really exciting time to be involved. I'm a fourth generation farmer, and I've got a real commitment to the industry, and I think that, you know, combined with the innovation of Kiwi farmers, we can address this problem and we can make it work. And look, it's an investment in our brand. We're known throughout the world for producing clean green food. We've got a really neat environment, and I think we owe it to ourselves to make sure that we address this problem adequately and preserve our fresh water for future generations.
Stu Kneebone and Norm Barker, Waikato Regional Council councillors. Now, last week's feature on water quality, if you heard it, you may have noticed it started and finished at the sea. What you didn't know was that sea was actually Papamoa Beach. So as a postscript, I returned this week. The sea was black, it was oily, and it smelt.